Coming up on this episode, first of all, we discuss the all-important autumn statement, what was announced and what affects the oil industry and whether the sector got what it wanted. We interviewed Chief Secretary to the Treasury, Danny Alexander, who visited Aberdeen to reassure the industry that all will be well. And of course, there was reaction to what he had to say from the likes of Chief Exec of Oil and Gas UK, Malcolm Webb, and of course, ex-First Minister, Alex Salmond. We also spoke to Sir Ian Wood to get his opinion on the whole situation, and Wood Group announced their cutting contractors' pay by 10% in the new year. We'll be hearing more about that from the company's managing director, Dave Stewart. Professor Alex Russell gives us his expert opinion on what industry workers can expect in the next few months. And finally, I spoke to newly appointed Shadow Energy Minister, Lewis MacDonald, on what his plans are to make a difference. But first of all, let's go back to the announcement of this year's autumn statement. First of all, it's the second most important economic statement of the year, just behind the budget. And everyone was waiting to hear what George Osborne was going to do to help the oil and gas industry, which we all know has been struggling with high production costs and low oil prices. So while many of us have been enjoying low prices when we go to fill up our cars, it's been doing a lot of damage to the sector. So Osborne announced that he was reducing tax on oil firms' profits by 2% immediately, which is a step in the right direction, but many believe it's not enough, and it's known that the industry was hoping for a little bit more help than that. I spoke to ex-First Minister Alex Salmond after the announcement, and he was very quick to slam Westminster's efforts.
When times are good, they smash and grab everything they can. When times are tough, they give the most limited concession and say we should be grateful from the crumb from the table. I think this is one insult too many, both in the slow reaction to the difficulties that the oil industry and the workers in the industry will have as a result of lower prices for a temporary period, and secondly, for this astonishing position, they're actually setting up an oil fund for the northeast of England before they produce a single barrel of oil, while denying it to Scotland, who produced massive quantities, billions of barrels of oil over the last 40 years, and have had absolutely not a red cent from Westminster.
But the Chief Secretary to the Treasury, Danny Alexander, visited Aberdeen the day after the autumn statement on the 4th of December and spoke to Northside News. He defended Osborne's announcements and outlined how he plans to create jobs and attract investors to the North Sea oil industry. Joe Odber sat down with him.
We want to make sure that we get the most out of the North Sea in terms of jobs and investment. That's more important than tax revenues. Better regulation plus lower taxes equals more jobs and more investment. That's what we want to work with the industry on. We're going to reduce the tax burden on the North Sea to make sure that we get the investment and the jobs that this industry can provide to the absolute maximum possible.
Something people have been talking about is the investment allowance as well. This is about streamlining the whole system, really.
The investment allowance is a big change. At the moment, we've got quite a complicated picture of lots of field allowances for different sorts of oil fields. That's worked for a lot of people. But this is a much more comprehensive system that says we're going to incentivise and give tax breaks, big tax breaks, for investment in all sorts of different things within the North Sea. That investment allowance, I think, is a real game changer for the industry, actually. And I think as people digest this package, people will see that, as well as the lower headline rates, actually we're really changing the way that people see the way the North Sea works.
How tough is it for the industry at the moment? I mean, do you get an appreciation of that in the Treasury? Yeah.
These are difficult times for the industry because the lower oil price, the high cost, the competition for resources around the world, there are lots of places people can invest their money, and we need to make sure that the North Sea is competitive so that when people look at the tax regime and the cost base and the level of good regulation here, they think that's a place we want to invest. So this is partly about sending a signal to the world. The North Sea is open for business. Come and invest here. There's good money to be made as well as jobs to be created.
And just finally, the timetable on this. These are proposals you'll need to ask the industry about. So when can we expect to see them?
Well, we've decided to have the investment allowance. We've decided to invest in seismic. We've decided on the tax cuts we announced yesterday. What we have to work with the industry on is the precise detail of how these things are implemented. So those decisions have been made, but there is more work to be done because in many cases we're talking about quite technically challenging different sorts of technology being used, for example. We need to make sure that the allowances particularly cover all those things. We're going to work on delivering that all that work for the budget in March next year so that everyone from then on has precise detail of how this new system is going to work.
Danny Alexander's approach was met with praise by Chief Executive of Oil and Gas UK, Malcolm Webb, who also said that now is the time for action.
We need delivery now. This can't just be warm words. I'm not suggesting that's all it is. This has got to be a spring 2015 delivery timetable.
Can you explain that? Well, the investment allowance, it seems to be a new thing that's quite exciting from this, but can you explain it to our listeners?
Well, I think what it's going to be saying is that if you have got an investment proposal and you're expending capital into the North Sea, you will receive an extra allowance, a tax allowance relating to that expenditure. And what is interesting is that that's going to relate to all forms of investment that is going on in the North Sea. At the moment, the system of allowances that we've got that's built up over time is related to different types of fields. So you get an allowance for a shallow gas field or a deep oil field west of Shetlands or a heavy oil field or this or that other type of oil field. Very difficult to predict, particularly at the exploration stage, is what's going to come along, and a very complex set of arrangements. What's being proposed here is something that is much simpler. I think probably in fiscal terms it'll be relatively neutral, but it'll be much easier to operate, one would hope. It'll be more purposeful, and it'll be better to incentivise investment into the basin.
But your real priority now is to get them to basically push this through for spring, and this is a time when the general election's coming up. It might be difficult to get government to move at that point.
Well, I hope not. We heard today that the Treasury is up for it and they wish to move ahead at pace. I can assure you the industry in Oil and Gas UK wants to move ahead at pace. I think we've been through the fiscal consultation. We've had a long discussion on these issues, and I think what I'm hearing now is that the government has got its proposals, which actually largely seem to be accepting the points put to them by the industry, but it wants to test those proposals out with the industry to make sure that they work. I think that's a sensible thing to do. So this shouldn't be a long period of consultation before then we can go through and see enactment. That's what we need now.
Exchequer Secretary to the Treasury, Priti Patel, was also in Aberdeen with Danny Alexander on the 4th. She told North Sound News how the government plans to encourage more decommissioning in the North Sea.
We've made a very clear announcement and commitment that we are looking to invest in how we approach decommissioning in the North Sea. This is incredibly important to us. Obviously, we have a mature basin. We have a lot of infrastructure out there that is old and, is being considered for future decommissioning. But the reality is what we need to do is incentivise how we approach decommissioning. So we're going to look at the changes around taxation, and as we go into 2015, we're going to consult widely with the industry to really get, the real suggestions, the real meat on the bones in terms of what is required to really incentivise decommissioning. This is incredibly important because I take the view as the minister responsible for this area that we have an opportunity to become world-class leaders in this particular field. That means, more for jobs, more for skills, but also more in terms of, developing the innovation, the technology, the world-class facilities, building upon the world-class facilities that we already have here in that local expertise at Aberdeen.
So what are the big challenges about getting people to get into decommissioning in the North Sea?
Well, I think it's very much about its costs. It is the investment, it's literally about how we can incentivise everything to do with that sort of decommissioning package so that, people, organisations, businesses are maximising, obviously, in terms of the revenue side, while keeping costs down. But it's also about how we can develop the approach, developing the right kind of approaches so that we can then export that overseas. We're in a global race. This is about UK PLC. Yes, we're here also to talk about and look at how we can get more oil out of the sea as well, out of the ground. But at the same time, there is opportunity here to develop more around the expertise that is associated with decommissioning.
Others were quick to weigh in on the debate. Sir Ian Wood said he was encouraged by the Treasury's presence in Aberdeen, as he knows, like many, that the oil industry faces a difficult time ahead.
First of all, they much better understand the industry, I think, than they did a year ago. Secondly, they've refocused much more onto maximising economic recovery in the long term, the basin competitiveness. They're now clearly focused on the issue with the price of oil and prepared to work with industry. What they've done today is laid out an agenda, which frankly is industry's agenda. It's exactly what I would have wanted to see as the key elements in the agenda. And they've also said, the message yesterday was not unhelpful. It wasn't huge, but a 2% reduction in supplementary rate is a signal of change. And they've said, what's more, we're going to take it further downwards. So that's clearly positive. In the next 3 months, because we've said the March budget will be the kind of key date now to work through these details, And clearly, everyone is very focused on trying to do something fairly quickly because the industry is facing an extraordinarily difficult time.
Did we see enough detail of what you wanted today, or is it still a little bit vague?
No. I guess I'm fortunate that I've been involved in some of the discussions, so I know where the agenda items are going. I think there's been enough detailed discussion that we're not just beginning from scratch on an agenda. You know, there's a lot of the discussion been well underway, and I'm very hopeful that the key elements in the agenda will be sorted out and able to be implemented in the March budget. And that's effectively what the two ministers have said, so we will hold them to that.
And just finally, what do you think people are going to sit up and take notice about from what's been said today?
Well, I think a headline is Treasury are really engaged with industry and prepared to work with industry and the new OGA regulator. I think that's an important message. Secondly, I think the field allowances is probably the most tangible thing, which actually could be a bit of a game changer in some areas. But the other elements, I mean, they're prepared to talk now about decommissioning allowances, infrastructure. That's the agenda the industry wants to get engaged with. So I think it's very, very encouraging.
This week saw the price of Brent crude drop to below $68 a barrel for the first time since 2009. It's now been revealed up to 1,000 jobs have been lost in the sector in the last few weeks. Wood Group announced on Wednesday the 17th they would be cutting pay for their contractors by 10% in the new year, all because of the continuing fall in oil prices. I sat down with Wood Group's managing director, Dave Stewart, to talk about the decision. We're talking today about a 10% pay cut to contractors at Wood Group. Tell us a little bit about the announcement you guys have made.
Yeah, I mean, we've been reviewing our contractor rates continually, and we made a 10% cut back in May, and we've reviewed that situation and, you know, the continual rise in costs and the production efficiency offshore, which is well in the public domain, coupled with a recent 40% reduction in the oil price. We feel this is the right decision to take at this time.
Obviously, you guys make the decision looking at the costs of the company and things like that, but I know a lot of people will be worried, you know, that this is going to be having a bad effect on workers. And I know in late November out came surveys saying that, you know, oil workers in the North Sea are very pessimistic about the future. And does this not just kind of add to that?
Well, it's no secret as well in the public domain that the costs have been rising considerably, and the contractor workforce rates have risen around 40% over the last 4 years. So this is really about sort of taking the opportunity to maintain the cost escalation and make ourselves fit for the future.
You mentioned just there that you did this in May as well. Is that a normal year for you guys, or is this kind of out of the normal for you guys to do this twice in 1 year?
Well, this is a little bit out of normal cycle. We would normally review our staff salaries in line with the RPI in January, typically. But what we feel at this particular time with the challenges we face, that we're going to freeze our staff salaries, including the senior management and executives, and also take the opportunity to address some of the escalating costs in the contractor community.
And do you know much about whether other companies have been doing the same in the recent months or will be following your suit?
Well, what we've seen, I think the rest of the oil and gas industry generally followed our lead in May. And only very recently other companies have been making contractor rate cuts announcements. So I think broadly the industry is facing up to the overall challenge.
OK, and what about, you know, looking forwards? Obviously, it continues to fall, the price of oil. There's hopes that it will go up in the future, obviously. But, you know, what is the outlook for the next little while? Could we see wages drop again?
Well, I think the oil price, we have no control over the oil price. What we have control is over the cost of our staff and the efficiency we can do work at. So that's what our real focus is. Hopefully the oil price will recover in the short to medium term. This action we're taking is really about, you know, managing the cost for our customer base and creating job security for future generations while securing a prosperous long-term future for the sector.
And can we expect more pay cuts and job losses across the industry? Is Wood Group's announcement a sign of more to come? Well, Professor Alex Russell from RGU definitely thinks so.
It's not unexpected. What we are facing in the North Sea oil industry is really a crisis situation. in order for the industry to survive, it really has to seek efficiency gains and cost reductions. This has happened in the past. When oil prices fall, we expect the oil industry to cut back on its cost of producing a barrel of oil. And one way of doing that is to reduce salaries.
Okay, and do you think it's a move that, you know, other companies will be following in the next few weeks or months?
Absolutely the case. I'd be surprised if it's not carried out across the entire industry. It already happened back in May 2014. In fact, the Wood Group had already reduced contractor costs by 10% then, as had AMEC. So it's something that is happening and will continue to happen until oil prices stabilise.
But is it safe to say that this is the first group to do so after, you know, the recent major drops we've seen since the summer?
We're already seeing a shake-up in the industry. There have been redundancies. There will be voluntary severance packages taking place across the entire industry as we speak. I don't think this is the start of the cost reduction. I think it is simply coming to the surface that this is happening.
A lot of workers will find this, you know, quite concerning and be worried about, you know, their wages. But do you personally think it's a move that needs to be made and it's a right move?
It is absolutely necessary. I mean, for example, in May 2014, it was reported that the average salary for a contractor was £79,488. Now, that's a lot of money to be paid. And that's at a time when hot oil prices were high. If the profits of the oil industry are going to fall, then the contractors must expect to share the pain. And yes, I think the high cost industry that we see has to find a way of reducing those costs.
So it's kind of just like a natural cycle, really.
Absolutely. And of course, when oil prices go up, as they will eventually, it's very difficult to predict when at the moment because of the geopolitical games being played. But when they do go up, you'll find that the contractors are the people who have the upper hand in negotiating salary levels. So their pay may well go up faster than the oil companies' own employees' salaries.
And Sir Ian Wood himself agreed, saying that significant job losses is to be expected in the future.
There definitely will be a reduction in employment. I'm going to guess there could be, I don't know, perhaps 5% of the jobs right across the whole spectrum of jobs. If the price stays down for the next 6 to 9 months, I think it could be that kind of loss of jobs. And that's quite severe. I would say 10 to 15,000 would be a reasonable estimate.
And in response to claims this week that the oil and gas industry is close to collapse, Sir Ian Wood had this to say.
It's not all bad news. It's important to get a perspective here. Treasury have got a really good agenda in front of the industry right now, which they have said that the key items they'll take into the Chancellor's March budget. The review that I chaired, which was all again about maximising recovery. The new regulator starts the beginning of the year. There's a tripartite arrangement with Treasury, the new regulator and industry. These should all result in a better investment climate. So what we're going to have is that against the background of a very difficult price market. If, as I think probably the consensus right now is that oil prices will recover, the UKCS hopefully will finish up a better place to invest and we'll get a really good rebound. I was quite disappointed to hear someone commenting yesterday about a collapse. It's very difficult to predict oil prices. I mean, you could get a major disruption in a Middle East country next week and there could be a significant rebound upwards in oil prices. I think the reality right now is that the structural issues, the supply-demand issues right now, are in favour of a cheaper oil price, and that's what we're going to have. But again, I think the view is that these will correct themselves in a year to 18 months' time. I think Treasury will come up with some significantly better investment incentives. I think the industry is doing a lot of things to help itself. And I'm not a super optimist, but I do believe, on an even course, that as the price recovers, the UKCS will be in a better position to attract more investment and produce more jobs.
And finally, Scotland's new Shadow Energy Minister, Lewis MacDonald, has called for the government to work more closely with the oil industry to solve these problems. He speaks to North Sounds about what he thinks needs to be done.
Too often in the past, the oil and gas industry has been taken for granted. It's been regarded as an easy source of revenue for government. Actually, it's a critical part of the economy, and it's vulnerable when the price is down, and that's where we are at the moment. Now, I remember very well the price in 1999. It's 15 years ago, but we can learn lessons from that. It's the last time the oil price dramatically fell over a period of time, and the intervention that followed that, government and industry worked more closely together in response to that, and that helped stabilise the industry going forward. We need to see the same again. Ian Wood recommended the creation of a new regulator. That's going forward. That's great. But we need to work with that regulator, and the regulator needs to work closely with the industry to say to the industry, you know, we need to achieve as much stability as we can in the sector, as much confidence and certainty for people who work in the industry as we can, and that's the best thing we can do in these circumstances. We don't want to see a panic reaction of shedding jobs and then worrying in 6 months' time about why nobody wants to work in oil and gas. We need to give people confidence going forward in the industry, and that's a job for government and industry to do together.
And that's all we've got time for. You've been listening to North Sounds Energy Podcast. I'm Hope Webb.